Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome. Welcome, welcome. This is Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman, who is gone for the week. And so I am in the president's chair on today's issues. I shall issue presidential commands. And but I can't decide what to do with my newfound authority. Abe Hamilton is my co-host, AFA public policy analyst.
Good morning.
Abe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, very well.
You know, there's an old line from a movie, and I don't remember what the movie is. And so I apologize if it's not a good movie, folks. I'm not promoting the movie, I don't know the name of it, but there was a line from a movie that said, "It's good to be the king." I want to say it's an old Mel Brooks movie or something. And so his movies were sometimes a little crude. But it's good to be the president of AFA or the United States. And we are looking at polls in terms of the latter presidential title. And I was shocked this morning on Drudge to see in a Los Angeles Times poll, Donald Trump up by five points.
Wow.
I mean, that was pretty shocking. Now, admittedly, Hillary Clinton did not have a very good weekend, shall we say. She had the kind of foot-in-mouth incident in which she said that half of Donald Trump's supporters could be put in the basket of deplorables because they were all racist and homophobic and Islamophobic and xenophobic. I don't know if she ran out of any phobics, but she said half of those people that support Trump are deplorable. She was forced to walk that back. That's unusual for a liberal / progressive to walk back immediately that statement. And then the if there's been a story this week that people have been talking about more than Hillary Clinton being basically hauled into a Secret Service vehicle after it seemed clearly she had some sort of medical problem going on. So now her campaign saying it's pneumonia, and everyone's saying, well, is it something more than that? She did not have a good weekend, but I was still surprised to see from a Los Angeles Times poll Trump up by five. So that was surprising to me. What about you?
Yeah, I was shocked to see that from an LA Times poll from the West Coast, it appears, and with a national poll that would have Donald Trump up 5 points at this stage of the election, I was floored by it. To be candid, I'm still shocked. Honestly, I'm looking at it and I'm still thinking, is this real?
Right.
I mean, is this really, really the results of the poll? Because I cannot imagine that the LA Times would want to say that Hillary Clinton is behind Donald Trump. So it's remarkable. It's remarkable to see this. And as you said, I think Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables comment, how do you let that? Because it wasn't an off-the-cuff statement. It
right.
was a prepared speech.
Yes, it was.
Where speechwriters employed their skills in crafting speeches. The speech was submitted to Hillary Clinton.
Right.
She had to approve of what the speech is going to say and then deliver the line with such aplomb.
Right.
And because she said half of Trump supporters can be fit— you know, they can belong to a basket of deplorables. The crowd starts clapping. She goes, right?
Yes.
Right? I mean,
does.
Really, like, come on. We all know this, right? Right? Just complete tone deafness, which I think the poll may be capturing the reality that Hillary Clinton may have just unveiled the utter contempt she has for people who don't think like her.
Yes.
And the American public now has a front page seat to look into. I mean, she had to approve this.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. This is not an off-the-cuff comment to a reporter or a question, you know, during, well, because she doesn't have very many press conferences.
I wonder why.
Well, yeah, so this is not an off-the-cuff thing where you say, as she did when she started to walk it back afterwards, where she, you know, said, I shouldn't have said half.
Yeah, that's the error. The math is the error. What you want to divide? You want to 12 squared?
Yeah, I meant 25%. You know, this. There are moments in a campaign where you say, okay, this will affect your chances or this won't affect your chances. Now, when President Barack Obama was candidate Barack Obama in 2008, remember he made the comment, and this, I don't remember if this was a prepared speech or if this was an off-the-cuff comment, but he did make a comment about people who cling during times of great change, cling to God and guns.
Bitter clingers to your guns and your religion.
Yes, and your religion. That's right. And so I thought that might hurt him. Obviously, it eventually didn't because he was elected. But now I think that Mitt Romney's comment that was captured about the 47% of the population get government money, and so they're never going to vote for me anyway, which I thought was a wrong statement to make because a lot of that 47%, I think, he's talking about people on Social Security or getting, you know, a government paycheck, which would include the military. So I'm not sure the percentage should have been that high, but I think that did hurt him. So you got one case in which a comment did not, one case in which I think a comment did. I guess it remains to be seen whether Hillary Clinton's deplorable comment will wind up hurting her. But the polls, at least initially here since then, are not going in her favor.
And I think what you just laid out for our listeners is the distinction that results as that follows from the power of the mainstream media, because they drove that 47% comment. I mean, it was everywhere.
Yes, it
was. You couldn't blow your nose without stumbling into it. Whereas the bitter clingers comment from President Obama, it was really limited to Fox News, to be candid.
Right.
Nobody else really discussed it, and it moved on. And it also brings to bear, here we have, which I would say one of the worst presidents in recent American history, President Obama. He's enjoying almost a 60% approval rating right now.
Right.
I mean, how is that possible with what we're facing as a country? Ladies and gentlemen, I think you see the power that the media has. I mean, yeah.
Well, let's stay on that for just a second here, just a few minutes, because you were before the show, you mentioned the CBS editing of Bill Clinton's comments. Now, we had just got done talking about Hillary Clinton's bad weekend in terms of not only the deplorable comment, but also the potential impact on the race that her health issues could have. Bill Clinton, lay it out for our listeners. Bill Clinton on CBS, what happened?
Well, and what happened was the original interview was on PBS.
Okay.
CBS was airing the footage from PBS. In the PBS interview, Bill Clinton was asked by the reporter, by the interviewer, about Hillary Clinton's health and her
passing out.
The fact that she has to do something or say something about this because she's passed out. And Bill Clinton said to the reporter on PBS, because frequently, then he catches himself and says, not frequently, rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many, many years, this same sort of thing has happened to her when she just got severely dehydrated. Well, Bill Clinton basically, in a rare moment of candor, and if you see the interview, he starts rubbing his eye, which I believe a lot of, you know, nonverbal communication experts would say he's telling you he's lying.
Right.
When he changes from the frequently to the rarely.
Yeah.
He says frequently, he starts rubbing his eye, saying, oh, not frequently, rarely, the same sort of thing happens. Well, CBS picked up that footage and aired the interview, but completely edited out the references to frequently. Not frequently. Completely edited out.
Yes, and what's so dishonest about this is some of our listeners may know what a cutaway is. What a cutaway is in video language is when you want to cover up a jump cut. All right, when you edit out words if people are watching the video, they'll see that the video doesn't line up.
Yes.
It's obvious that you cut something out
yes.
because the person had his head pointed to, you know, looking to the right. When they cut it, he's looking to the left. People know, okay, they cut something out.
That's right.
To cover up the fact that they edited the interview from PBS, they have a cutaway.
Yes.
So the person watching CBS now sees the reporter
yes.
looking at former President Bill Clinton, and all of a sudden you can't see that the video was edited. Absolutely dishonest.
Yes.
And now it's not dishonest to have a jump cut and a cutaway if it's a non-essential edit. So if someone goes on for a really long explanation of a point, you don't have the time for that. You leave the point. You don't leave the point in the interview, but you don't have the long rabbit trail that the person goes on. That's fair. It's fair to clean up an interview so you can fit it in your allotted time period. But to cut out something that clearly indicates that the very point we're discussing, Hillary's health, there is a deeper issue, shows that the media is not only complicit in this cover-up, if it is a cover-up, but gee, let us decide, but the media is on Hillary Clinton's side and they are no longer an independent news source.
I mean, it is blatant because when Bill Clinton in the original footage says frequently, he immediately catches himself
right.
and says not frequently. So you have to have the entire verbiage in order to really get the full thrust of what he's saying. So you have CBS literally operating, to be candid, as a propaganda arm for the
right.
Hillary Clinton's campaign.
And it is propaganda because they are trying to manipulate the news to promote a particular message. That's
right.
the very definition of propaganda.
That's exactly right.
And CBS has been caught, as the news media, the mainstream media, has been caught on numerous occasions over the past 10 years or so, being in bed with the Democratic Party. I don't know how else you interpret what CBS has done. It's a disgusting example of media propaganda and being in the tank for one political party.
It's disgusting because we see the results because what is shown on the media repeatedly, it actually creates and forms public opinion.
Yes.
And you'll have lots of people who will try to downplay Hillary Clinton's health issues because they've seen this interview from Bill Clinton.
Right.
They say, well, she's been dehydrated before. Oh, it's nothing to see here.
Yes.
You know, nothing's going on here.
But if they had seen the full interview, they'd be going, oh, wait a second.
Even the husband is saying this happens frequently.
Yeah. Well, folks, you're going to get the real news here. And we'll do the best we can to put it in a Christian context. We make no apologies for that. People who come to us know we have a Christian worldview. But we're going to tell you the truth about those kinds of things. And so it is surprising, and you also make note of the fact, or you did before the show, we were talking about on realclearpolitics.com, Trump is up by 5 in Ohio in the latest poll. I'm just very surprised that he has come all the way back from a very bad week a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. following the Democratic National Convention, he's come all the way back and retightened this race. That first debate is going to be huge yep. on September 26th. So,
absolutely.
Anyway, we'll continue to follow that. We got more great things for you here directly ahead on today's issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today, joined in studio by my co-host Abraham Hamilton III, who's AFA's public policy analyst. And the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Colin Smith, who's a pastor, has written a book about the 10 greatest struggles of your life, talking about the 10 commandments and how they apply to our struggles of holiness. And then next hour, Jan Markell, founder of Olive Tree Ministries, we're going to be talking to her about probably a number of issues, but especially a new transgender law in Massachusetts, which could, get this, affect churches. You want to have a spaghetti supper and open it up to the entire community, you may very well find yourself subject to a new law in Massachusetts. We'll be talking to Jan Markell about that. But first, our very own Monica Cole, who's director of 1 Million Moms. Monica, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, when we have you on the show, It's either good news or bad news. Sometimes it's both.
I've got both.
You've got both. Tell us, let's do the bad news first.
Okay, well, we'll just jump right in. We are currently working on a campaign with Devour Frozen Food Lines. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this new brand of frozen meals in the freezer section at the grocery store called Devour. It's owned by Kraft Heinz Company. They merged a few years ago. And so just to briefly describe some of the commercials that are airing during prime time, during football games, when families are watching.
And I've seen the ad.
You have seen. Yes. There's two.
So have I. I've seen them both.
You've seen them both, so y'all know just how disgusting they are. But just to briefly describe them, the titles are Pool Boy and Lunch Spank. Mm-hmm. And they're just as suggestive as the titles lead them to be. They're extremely full of sexual innuendos, you name it. Their Facebook page goes on and on with posts that use the word explicit, obscenely, always be prepared, just lots of innuendos that we know where they're going with this. Not to mention their tagline for the campaign is food you want to fork. So we have asked our supporters to contact the Kraft Heinz Company, asking that they no longer air these offensive commercials. I personally have talked to the Kraft Heinz Company. They're very professional, very polite, took my information down, you know, the normal routine,
right.
But they were not in a hurry to get off the phone. Let's put it that way. So they are listening to our concerns. We have not heard back as far as a victory yet. So we need all of our listeners to go to 1millionmoms.com. You can send an email, which is quick and easy. You can go to their Facebook page, or with the phone number provided, you can give them a call. And just let them know that these type of ads are not okay.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, most of us, if you're a Christian and you've been watching television and you see these kinds of offensive ads, and you go, why? Why would the part of a company that deals with advertising and comes up with these ideas for ads, or hires an advertising company who brings the suggestions to the company and they say, okay, we want that one, but not that one. Why does a company, when it's selling food, all right, we're talking selling food, why would they feel it necessary to be so crude? What in their minds, what's the upside here?
Well, there's no reason to use indecent ads to sell food products. I mean, there's no reason to use it to sell any products,
right,
but especially food. I don't know if they're going for shock value, but of course, nothing shocks us anymore of
right.
what's on television. But unfortunately, companies, they feel like sex sells. And so I don't know if they've hired someone just straight out of college that thought this was cute, but the viewers, the parents, we do not find it amusing whatsoever. And so we are asking our supporters to contact the Kraft Heinz Company. Just ask them to no longer air these particular commercials, but to not even produce these type of campaigns going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the slogan, the title of the campaign, I mean, there is no
no excuse.
Hiding and no being secretive about where their minds were when they produced this campaign. Like you said, no excuse.
Yeah. It's disgusting. Well, you can tell that they are intentionally doing this.
Yes.
And it is, as you said, that they think this kind of grotesque advertising sells. But this is an example. This is one of the areas where our supporters can get involved and help us reshape our culture. Because when they hear from people, real people that are not in their advertising department, it'll make
right.
them stop and think, oh, wait a minute, maybe this stuff doesn't sell as well as we thought so. They are appealing to the smut bottom line of our society. And that's what they're doing. And by responding and taking heed to your suggestion, Monica, it gives us an opportunity to say, listen, we are not where you think we are. And the bottom line hurts companies. So when they hear, man, listen, we won't buy your food products because of this nasty advertising, it'll get them to roll it back.
Exactly. And they know primarily who their customers are. I mean, it's not always the moms or the grandmothers. You know, there are many dads who do grocery shopping as well, but it's primarily families.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hear from the consumers and they know that we're not going to be buying their products until these commercials are taken off the air, They'll listen. I mean, the bottom line, that's what they're concerned with, and money does talk. And so we are asking that these sleazy commercials be gone, and hopefully sooner than later.
Well, and one thing I want to remind our listeners, to encourage them to go to 1 Million Moms to sign up and to say something, is there have been times in the past when we'll see ads, and what the company says is, well, nobody's complaining. We haven't heard one complaint. And what 1 Million Moms exists to do is to make sure they do hear some complaints.
Exactly.
And sometimes it does have an impact. So tell us, what's the good news you have for us?
Well, we do have some great news. And like you said, when we let our voice be heard, there is strength in numbers. And we've heard back from companies about commercials. For example, Bayer pulled their Lotrimin ad within 2 hours of our campaign launch. And so after it was launched, I mean, 2 hours, I mean, that's nothing.
That's, yeah,
to hear back from a major, I mean, Bayer's huge company. And so they do hear from us. They did not realize how offended we were. And like you said, they'll continue if they don't hear from us. But some other victories we've had. Last time I was on the show, we were talking about the program Dating Naked. And it's on VH1. The title alone, you know, gives it away what the program's about. And I mentioned before that Fruit of the Loom and Sprint, a few others, they have pulled their sponsorship from the program. And we have others that have contacted us in reply to our campaigns, because our supporters contacted Trivago, Red Robin, Apartments.com, and The Honest Company. Some of these advertisers didn't even know their commercials were airing during this particular time slot because their PR firm placed it there. So they were able to contact us again in a matter of hours, just 2-3 hours, letting us know that they have pulled their financial support. Their commercials will no longer be airing during this particular program. And it's because our supporters spoke out. And this week is the last week the show is airing until they announce if there will be another season. So we have contacted sponsors week after week, and they have, I would imagine, felt the financial strain of trying to find new sponsors or just airing more of their own programs that's airing on their network, their own advertisements on their program.
Which doesn't give them any money.
No, it doesn't.
No income.
Yeah, advertising their own programs for their own network. Like you said, they're not getting any money from that, no revenue. So we'll have to wait and see if the show will be renewed for another season or not.
Well, Monica, let our listeners know once again how they can get to become a part of this team that contacts companies and contacts advertisers and tries to produce a little bit of pushback in terms of the corruption that's growing in our culture.
Well, what our supporters and our listeners can do is go to 1millionmoms.com. One is spelled out O-N-E, millionmoms with an S.com, to join and subscribe to our action alerts. We make it very simple because we know everyone is busy, but you can take action and let your voice be heard as well. And then, as you were mentioning, we're just pushing back, just kind of holding the line, per se. And so when companies and networks hear back from viewers and consumers, we've had many, many victories and successes. And so join us at 1millionmoms.com.
Well, and I love the ease with which people can sign up. You send a kind of an action for them to take, and it's very easy to do it, very simple to do it. So people who are crunched for time can still make a huge impact.
Yes.
Monica Cole has been our guest. She's director of 1 Million Moms. Monica, thank you so much, and thank you for your hard work.
Thanks for having me.
Sometimes we don't get a victory, but oftentimes we do. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, when we get back, we're going to take a short break, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the struggles of our Christian walk and how the Ten Commandments can actually have a great impact and direct our lives. So we'll be talking with Colin Smith, who'll be our guest. Next hour, Jan Markell, founder of Olive Tree Ministries. Wait till you hear about the new transgender law in Massachusetts and how it could affect churches there. Can this happen anywhere else in the country? We'll be talking to Jan Markell about that. Short break, folks. We'll be back. This is Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you. Next time on Today's Issues, we'll let Kirby Anderson of Point of View fire away at the issues of the day.
It hasn't really been very good for the Clinton campaign. First, the statement on Friday that anybody that supports Donald Trump, or at least half of them, will fit into a basket of deplorables.
We'll also talk with Robert Spencer, author of The Complete Infidels Guides. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR, and online at AFR.net.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stop along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. It's generally accepted that one of the unspoken requirements for the presidency is the ability to stand upright, which is why Hillary Clinton's unfortunate medical crisis on Sunday is still making headlines. It was just unsettling. The latest Bloomberg poll reflects that concern. Donald Trump now up 5 points in Ohio. And now both Hillary and the Democrats are in uncharted waters. There are insider rumblings about contingency plans and what-ifs. It's doubtful that Hillary drops out, but the mere fact folks are worried is an issue. And it's not so much she may have a medical problem, it's the cover-up. First it was overheating, then dehydration, then allergies, then pneumonia. Treated in her daughter's apartment instead of an emergency room. Her team all but shut down media coverage. Very odd behavior. As we say back home in Tennessee, the campaign's gone slap crazy, folks. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman, who's out this week. And I'm joined in studio by Abe Hamilton, AFA Public Policy Analyst. Folks, before we get back to the news that is raging everywhere, we have Share-a-thon coming up in October. If you think that's a long way off, folks, we are just about halfway through September. We're staring down the barrel of Thanksgiving. It's just amazing how 2016 has blown by us. But anyway, Share-a-thon for American Family Radio is October 18th through the 20th. And what we like to do in the lead up to Share-a-thon and during Share-a-thon itself is to air listener stories. And by that, I mean stories that you, the listener, call in and tell us about what American Family Radio has meant to you. Tell us, for example, how God has used AFR in your life. Maybe we've inspired you to become more engaged in the culture war or even in politics. How is your life different because of American Family Radio? Maybe we've impacted your home, your workplace. Any of those kinds of stories we're looking for. And so what we ask you to do, I'm going to give you a number here in just a moment, is to call in. You will be prompted through your phone call and told when to start talking, I guess, and how to end your call. But it's a way of you sharing with other people an encouragement about the importance of American Family Radio. We've always tried to say during Share-a-thon that the reason that you are listening to American Family Radio today here on Wednesday, September 14th, is because last April when we had Share-a-thon, people gave. And so this is an opportunity for you to encourage other listeners to help us keep our programming on. So here's the phone number, 877 866-889-3. You'll be led through a series of prompts to give your listener testimony, 877-876-8893. Please call and share your story. Encourage others to help keep American Family Radio on the air. So I love listening to those listener testimonies because, as I've said on occasion on this program, that Abe and I are here in a studio. The only other persons we get to look at are Brent Creeley, one of our producers, and Jade McIntosh, the other producer, through the glass. We can't see anybody else. That's it. So sometimes we don't know, is there anybody out there, anybody listening? These listener stories are an encouragement to us that what God is doing through American Family Radio is making a difference in people's lives. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to have Colin Smith on and be talking about the importance of the Ten Commandments to the life of the Christian. So a lot of times Christians think, well, it was New Testament age, and the Ten Commandments, that's that old covenant, and they don't really apply. Well, Colin Smith is going to tell us that the Ten Commandments can help direct our life of sanctification as a Christian. So we'll be talking to him about that. Abe, let me just ask you, you know, we talk about, you know, the importance of political engagement, the importance mm-hmm. of voting. Folks, if you're listening and you're not registered yet, you can still register to vote for the upcoming elections in November. Please,
please register.
Register and vote.
I have young children.
And you have young children. That's, you know, I have grandchildren now. You begin to think, you know, what is the world going to be like? Well, I think it was John McCain in 2008 after he lost the election, and President Obama, I think, rammed through Obamacare, I think was the context of Senator John McCain's comment. He said, elections have consequences. And I think it was you that kind of sent around to leadership here at AFA an article
yes.
from the Daily Signal. The title is How Liberal Judges Took Control of 70% of U.S. Appeals Courts. Now, we talk about the Supreme Court a lot.
Yes.
Abe, let our listeners know how important the appellate court system is and what this article is saying.
Yes. Unfortunately, we focus a lot of attention on the Supreme Court, but what we don't realize is the Supreme Court only hears at most about 100 cases per year.
And that's a small fraction of the total cases that they could hear.
That's exactly right. That's a fraction of what they could hear. In order for the Supreme Court to hear a case, they have to grant what's called certiorari, which they don't always grant.
Right.
That's a rare occurrence. The appeals courts hear some 35,000 cases annually. So you have the overwhelming majority of cases and controversies are being decided at the appellate level. Under President Obama's administration, he has been able to change the appellate court system from one that once was dominated by conservative judges to one now 70%. I mean, that's a startling feat. 70% of the appellate court judges are now liberal judges, appointed primarily by President Barack Obama.
Yeah, now when we talk about the appellate court system, we're talking about the federal district court, that's the lowest level, then the circuit courts, and then cases go from there. There's procedures to skip certain steps, but generally that's when they then go to the Supreme Court. So a lot of Christians will say, well, such and such could never happen. That's unconstitutional. We would just take them to court. Well, you know what? Most of the time, those kinds of cases are settled in the federal appellate court of the United States judiciary.
That's right.
So there might be a big case that goes to, let's say, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, very liberal circuit, and they get a decision that you go, well, that's the wrong decision. We'll take it to the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court might say, we're not going to hear that case.
And then you're stuck.
In which case, the appellate court ruling stands.
That's right.
So this is incredibly important. And so, folks, when we say we're going to be talking to Jan Markell about a law that's about to go into effect in Massachusetts October 1st, your head's going to explode
yeah.
when you hear the danger that churches are in
yeah.
in the state of Massachusetts. And you say, well, that's just those nut cases up in Massachusetts, okay? My neck of the woods. I understand what you're saying. I grew up in New Hampshire. We called Massachusetts all kinds of names, Taxachusetts and, mm-hmm. you know, the People's Republic of Massachusetts. But think about this. In this country, same-sex marriage was first legalized in Massachusetts in 2003.
That's right.
That's when the state Supreme Judicial Court ruled in favor of same-sex marriage. The first same-sex marriages in that state were performed 6 months later. And now it is legal everywhere in the United States. Don't underestimate the importance of a trend that starts in one place and sweeps across the nation. So folks, Christians I'm speaking to, other social conservatives who may not be Christian, who maybe we have atheists who listen sometimes and who are social conservatives. We've even had socially conservative. Well, I mean, you get there's, you know, all sorts of people who listen. But for all of those who care about these kinds of things, it is critical that you vote.
Yeah.
It is critical that you vote because it's not just the Supreme Court. It is also the liberal judges. And for 70% of the U.S. appellate court now, the judges, to have been changed from conservative constitutional judges, strict constructionists, most of them, to liberals who believe that the Constitution is malleable and can be made to say whatever you want it to say, for 70% of those judges now to have been liberalized, or those positions, this is a tragedy. And when we start saying we're going to take such and such to court and we go before these judges, you're not going to like the results, folks. No.
And to one of the facts from the story that I sent around, that when President Obama took office, only one circuit of the 13 had a majority of liberal judges. Now,
so they were conservative.
So they were conservative appellate courts. So now 9 of the 13 appellate courts have a majority of liberal judges on them. That is a fundamental transformation of American society.
Well, which is what he promised
when he went into
office. So, folks, I plead with you, all right, do not think these elections are meaningless. Do not think these elections are meaningless. They will have profound effects on us and our children and our grandchildren. We're looking at fundamental transformations that may never be reversed, or if they are reversed, it may take a generation or two to do it. And wait till we tell you about this law in Massachusetts. As I said, your head's going to explode. So anyway, let's move from that to something a little bit more encouraging about the Christian life. We want to welcome Colin Smith, who's senior pastor of The Orchard in the Chicago suburbs, host of the daily radio program Unlocking the Bible. He's author of the book we're going to discuss with him, titled The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life: Finding Freedom in God's Commands. Colin, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's a delight to be with you today. Thank you.
All right. Now, I'm detecting an accent, sir.
There you go. Yes, from Edinburgh, Scotland, originally, and I served a church in London for 16 years, and we've been over here for the last 20.
So I'm going to ask you a question that's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but do you know Sean Connery?
Well, would you believe this? The answer is no. I've never met him. But the little Baptist church that I grew up in was literally a street away from where Sean Connery grew up. And you would be amazed to see the poverty of the home in which he grew up in the light of the remarkable career that he's had. And so Hollywood has done very well for Sean Connery.
Well, the reason I say it is tongue-in-cheek is sometimes I'll tell somebody that I'm from the Boston area, and they'll say, hey, do you know Bill McIntosh? And I say, well, no, it's a pretty big city, and it's been a while since I've been there. So, well, anyway, thank you for being our guest, sir. Let me ask you this. I would think that while a lot of Christians might have respect for the Ten Commandments, I would think that a lot of Christians also may think, well, the Ten Commandments, that's Moses, that's Old Testament, and this is a new, you know, it's a New Testament age, and while we study that stuff and, you know, can think about it, it doesn't apply to me. So why should I pick up your book and read this? Well, answer that question for us.
Oh, well, that's a perfect question, my friend, because the book is exactly intended to answer that question. It really is a Christian view of the Ten Commandments. And I would simply ask the question, when the Holy Spirit is given to a Christian believer, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're given the power of the Holy Spirit to live a new life. Now, what kind of life is that we're called to live and that the Holy Spirit is given to us for? And the answer is it's a life of love. Well, what does that mean? The answer to that is spelled out in the Ten Commandments. This is where we find out what it actually means to love God and what it actually means to love our neighbor as ourselves. So this is really central to the Christian life. And I called the book The Ten Struggles of Your Life because as you think through the commandments, they do actually relate to all of the issues in which, just in common conversation, we recognize that we ourselves struggle. We have real struggles with time, for example. We have real struggles with issues of conflict with other people. We have issues with with contentment in a world that's constantly bombarding us with advertising. And all of these things, because God is a loving Father, He addresses for His children in the directions that He gives to us.
Yeah, Colin, this is Abe here. I have to tell you, when I saw your book, it really, really, really piqued my interest. And there's several things I'd like to ask you, but I'll go right into one of the things at the top of my list. One of the chapters, chapter 7, you titled Your Struggle with Purity.
Yep.
And I've long maintained the belief based on scriptures, and I've even shared it in places where I've been privileged to share it, that Jesus came not only to modify our conduct, but He came to make us pure.
Absolutely.
How do you flesh that out in your book, particularly chapter 7, that, as I'm referring to?
Well, let me give a little story, just very briefly, that was really, and it's in that chapter, Abe, that really made the whole of the Ten Commandments pop, and I think it answers your question. It's a true story about a man who was a thief, and the long arm of the law catches up with him. He gets put into prison. He's wonderfully converted, and then when he comes out, he's really worried that he's going to be drawn back to his old way of life. You know, there's going to be all this temptation, he's going to need money, his old friends are going to try and drag him back into the old ways. How is he going to manage all of this? So the first Sunday out of prison, he goes into a church. He wants to do that, and he sits in the back of this church, sees on the wall the Ten Commandments. And of course, his eye, because he's a thief, he has been a thief, immediately goes to the old command that condemns him, thou shalt not steal. And he thinks to himself, well, that's the last thing that I need right now. You know, I know that I'm going to face all kinds of struggles here. He kept looking at it, and then he saw and heard the very same word spoken in a new way to him that he'd never noticed before, not as a condemning command, but as a wonderful promise of what lay ahead. You shall not steal. You're not going to steal. And the reason that you're not going to steal is that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to you and lives in you so that you will live this new life of not stealing. Now, when I heard that story, I thought, that helps me to understand the commandments in a Christian way and in a whole new way, that God's commands are actually promises for those who are in Jesus Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing that that where the Holy Spirit is given to a believer with regards to the seventh commandment or any of the commandments, the promise is there. God says to you, you shall not commit adultery. You are given the Holy Spirit so that you can move in the direction of a new and pure life. And whatever the muck that may be in your mind from the past, God's Spirit is given to you to help you move forward and to move in the direction of purity. And of course, that applies to each of the areas covered by the command.
Well, and that's why I love the emphasis of your book, because it is an encouragement. And, you know, this is all fleshed out in the New Testament, you know, Romans chapter 6, you know, yep. That sin is no longer has authority in your life.
Yep.
And so I love this emphasis. And let me ask you, I want to get this question out. I don't want to break up our train of thought here, because I want you to help me with one of these commandments. Now, I've long ago settled the issue of which day of the week I'm to go to church. Okay, so Sunday is the day. And I don't disrespect people who say it's, you know, still Saturday, the Sabbath. But let me talk about that commandment a little bit. Help me to understand, because, I read, what Jesus says about the commandment, that commandment, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What is it that God is directing me to do on Sunday?
Oh, that's a really great question. Yeah, well, the fourth commandment, of course, really has two parts. The first is that for 6 days you're to do your work. So that dignifies work. It says work is a good gift from God, and we're to go at it, and we're to get it done, and we're to rejoice in it, and we're to see it as worship. And there's all kinds of things that we learn from God's way of working in the creation over these 6 days in which he created the world. He obviously could have done that in an instant, but he didn't. He modeled how to work for us, and that involves dividing work. There's different work done in order and progress through the 6 days of the week. It involves celebrating what has been done at the end of each day. I really need to learn that in my own life increasingly. So easy to worry about what I've not done rather than to give thanks to God for what he enabled me to do in any given day. And then all of this is leading up to the celebration of, the rejoicing in, the work that has been completed, which of course is the principle of the Sabbath. So I think to answer your question directly, Ed, it is to rest from what has been done. It is to rejoice in what has been done. And it is to savor the goodness of our God for whom everything is done. If I just work and I forget for whom I am working, then I lose the very point of what God has called me to do. I like to think of the day that God has given to us as a moment, a window in time to strengthen our grip on eternity. Because really, our whole lives is like a period, are like a period of work, and then we enter into the great rest of God. And in miniature, we do that every week. We work, and then we enter into this rejoicing rest in which we savor who God is. And of course, that's the great gift of worship that we share together with God's family.
This is Abe here again, Colin. Man, I'm listening because I'm enjoying your explanations, and I'm taking notes because that's something I'm gonna take to savor the goodness at the end of each day. And your answer actually is a good segue into my next question. In chapter 10, you identify the struggle with contentment.
Yeah.
And it seems that if we are able to successfully navigate the struggle with time, that we may also be able to succeed in overcoming the difficulties with contentment. Does it seem like I have that right?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, and that there's a real connection. I think that the distinctive of the 10th commandment is that it obviously addresses not an action, but a desire. You shall not covet. Well, if I steal my neighbor's car, then he knows that I've done it. If I covet my neighbor's car, then he won't know that because that's something hidden. It's within the heart. And I think that's the importance of the 10th commandment, that actually it points to what our Lord Jesus made very clear in the Sermon on the Mount, that God is concerned not only with our actions, but actually with the condition of our heart. And that's why Jesus said, now you've heard it said, don't murder, but I'm saying to you, don't even be angry with your brother. So he goes from an action back to the root of the action in the heart. And then he says, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I'm saying to you, that whoever looks on another person, even with lustful intent, has already done this in their heart. So he's tracing the action back to the root. So you see, the rich young ruler in that story in the New Testament, when he came to Jesus and spoke about the commandments, he said to Jesus, well, I've kept all these commandments, by which he meant, well, I've never committed adultery, I've never robbed a bank, and so forth and so on. But what he didn't grasp was that behind the actions in the commandments, there is a whole trail that goes back to the origins of these sins within our hearts. And that is what God has come to address. He has come to deal not just with the symptoms of our sins, but with the disease of our sin that is actually the root. And as one preacher who used to be a doctor said, it's not symptoms of a disease that kill people, it's the disease itself. And that's why we get back to the heart, which is the point that you were mentioning, I think, earlier, Abe. And the 10th commandment really makes it clear that that's what all of them are about.
If you're listening and are as fascinated by this discussion as I am, you're listening to Colin Smith, who's senior pastor of The Orchard, that is in the Chicago suburbs. He's host of a daily radio program, Unlocking the Bible. He's author of a fascinating book, very helpful book for the Christian. It's titled The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom in God's Commands. And what Pastor Smith does is he goes through the Ten Commandments and talks about the real issues that are addressed, but also the real issues in our own struggles. Colin, we're running out of time. In fact, just got a couple of minutes. Chapter 5, your struggle with authority. If I could point out anything that I thought was maybe the most significant problem in America, I would say it is struggle with authority because, and you could go, you know, you could talk about broken homes and all those things, and that's certainly germane. But our as a nation, our struggle with God's authority seems to be at the root of so much of what's going wrong in our country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's very significant that that is the commandment to which a promise is attached. You're to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. Well, why is that added to that commandment? I think for just the reason that you've identified, which is that respect for authority, which is learned in the home or ought to be learned in the home, if that breaks down, then the very fabric and order of social life begins to break down, and therefore you won't be long in the land is the implication of that. So there's a real importance that is attached here that speaks to the immense significance of the work that parents do. It speaks to the importance of a father and a mother in some sense standing in the place of God, representing God in the life of a child. And it speaks to us about the real importance of proclaiming a robust gospel that declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, there is a sovereign Lord who lays claim to every life on the planet. And because we're sinners, that does not put us in a good position. So thank God that this sovereign Lord is the Savior who's come for us and has gone to that cross and rose from the dead and invites us, therefore, to put our faith in him that we may be reconciled to this Lord and now live our lives under his sovereign rule. I think what people don't get is because this wonderful God is so good, to live life under his rule is the best possible life, the most blessed that can ever be lived.
Our guest has been Pastor Colin Smith. He's pastor of The Orchard, that is in the Chicago area, and he's written the book, which we highly recommend, folks, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom in God's Commands. Pastor Smith, where can folks get a hold of this, or if they want to read something else that you've written, do you have a website you'd like to share?
Sure, it should be on any Christian bookshop, Amazon, and all the rest of it, but unlockingthebible.org is our ministry where you'll find the book and also everything else that comes from this ministry, unlockingthebible, one word, .org.
Well, Colin, thank you so much for being our guest, and you're a good sport. We asked you about Sean Connery, and when you do see him, say hello. You know, big fan of that actor. Thank you so much, sir, for being our guest.
God bless you guys. A delight to talk to you.
Well, folks, you hear all kinds of stuff here on this program. You hear challenging things. You'll hear disturbing things. You'll hear great encouragement, like you just heard from our guest, Pastor Colin Smith at C-O-L-I-N, Smith, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. Abe Hamilton, AFA Public Policy Analyst, is my co-host. Folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. You can find out what's happened over the last hour while we've been on this program. When we come back, Jan Markell, founder of Olive Tree Ministries, she's going to talk, at least one of the things we'll talk about, is a new transgender law in Massachusetts that very well could affect churches in that state. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.